Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome to Groundhog Day. Those of you listening live know what I'm talking about. Those of you who are listening to the podcast, we've restarted this show three times because we've had some technical issues keeping Dr. DePasquale on line with us, but I think we have him. But before we get into that, today's show, we've got the thoughts, the deep thoughts of Dr. Mario DePasquale on a variety of different topics, including growth hormone and receptors and everything else. And then during the second hour, one of the notable formulators in the industry who has his name on a lot of one-of-a-kind molecules, if you will, Dr. Sean Wells will join us. But first, without further ado, okay, Mauro, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
And you are coming in loud and clear, so this is great. Okay, third time was a charm. Okay.
Jesus.
So Mauro, we're just gonna let you kind of riff on these different topics, and we let you start wherever you want. We want to cover insulin, growth hormone, SARMs, and anything else you want to cover from there. So wherever you want to start.
Well, actually, let's start off with receptors, for example. Now we're talking about growth hormone receptors, androgen receptors, estrogen receptors, IGF-1 receptors, thyroid, corticosteroids, etc. Now you got to understand that receptors are malleable. In other words, there are certain domains in receptors that can be integrated with a certain molecule. So you don't get the full receptor action. You can get actually partial receptor actions. This is what we're looking at when we talk about growth hormone secretagogues, when we talk about SARMs, which is the androgen modulators, receptor modulators, or SERMs, the estrogen receptor modulators. So what happens is you can take the actual, let's take something like IGF-1, for example. Now, IGF-1 is a result usually of growth hormone from the pituitary, and the growth hormone allows the liver to produce IGF-1, which then goes systemic, and it's responsible for the anabolic effects of IGF-1. Now it's better if growth hormone and IGF-1 are present together, so that using some of the IGF-1 analogs may not be as effective as using something which would increase growth hormone secretion and IGF-1 secretion. Mm. Okay. So let's look at.
Isn't IGF-1 a derivative of growth hormone? One of the breakdown metabolites. Doesn't that have more to do with specific tissue and the states of specific tissue as opposed to pituitary production?
Well, IGF-1 isn't produced. Well, actually, the pituitary does have IGF-1 receptors, but the main IGF-1 receptors that we're kind of want to talk about is the ones in skeletal muscle.
Okay.
And effects on skeletal muscle, hypertrophy, body composition, etc. So if you take the whole IGF-1, then you're going to get specific effects which may not be that beneficial. Now, it's been shown that IGF-1, for example, can increase cancer, either the incidence or the progression of cancer. So that's not something we want. So we want the anabolic effects of IGF-1, but we don't want the counter effects of IGF-1. So we can use IGF-1 that can be various lengths. For example, the IGF-1 usually is 70 amino acids. Now, you can produce an 83 amino acid IGF-1, which is called a long R3 IGF-1. The name's not really that important, but this has a longer effect on IGF in the body than the endogenous produced IGF-1.
Now, let's go down that rabbit hole for a second, okay?
Sure.
So, it does this by binding to albumin in the serum, right?
Right.
Okay. And the popular thinking is that the presence of these molecules and the duration of their presence plays as much of a role on their effect and impact on tissue as does the amplitude of what they're being delivered in. And so they're starting to look at things like MK677 and long R3 and even some of the long acting secretagogues like CJC1295. And they're saying, it's not all about just the amplitude. It's about the duration. And when we get the duration wrong, we don't see the effects that we want to see. Are you of that opinion as well? Or do you think that taking these long acting analogs that would never be present in our body could actually be beneficial?
Well, I think so. I mean, there's also shorter acting analogs. It depends on if you take the binding proteins for IGF-1 and you combine the IGF-1 with it, what you have basically is almost like the serum hormone binding globulin for testosterone. It's a storage form.
Right, right.
More than anything else. So what you have is, right now, there are recombinant IGF-1 and recombinant binding hormones for IGF-1, which are used together to, and this is used for people who are IGF-1 deficient, together to produce a longer acting IGF-1 because you're introducing larger amounts of both, and the dissociation factor will produce higher levels of IGF-1 in the body, even though it's still being bound by the IGF-1 binding protein 3.
Isn't this a mistake, these long-acting analogs and even direct hormonal peptide productions, these long-acting agents, isn't this a mistake? Isn't the frequency and the amplitude all part of the messaging system of these very sophisticated peptides?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You take the DES-IGF-1, for example, which is 67 amino acids. The terminal 3 amino acids are separated from it. This doesn't bind nearly as well to the binding proteins. So when that is used, you have higher levels of IGF-1 that are biologically active and for a longer period of time as well. Same thing happens with the long R3
right.
IGF-1. So there are differences depending on the binding capacity and how it's done. Now, these are not produced normally in the body. You have IGF-1. The things that are produced in the body are the mechanical growth factors and the splice variants of IGF-1. So, for example, let's say, these are increased by exercise. So if you exercise, you do some muscle damage, which you do when you exercise, then you get autocrine, paracrine, and even endocrine levels of IGF-1 increase, but the mechanical growth factor is the one that's most effective in the muscle in increasing muscle hypertrophy and also increasing the satellite cell proliferation.
Tissue repair. Mechanical growth factor is fantastic for tissue repair, muscle tissue repair. Yeah,
and it does it two ways. It increases protein synthesis and increases satellite cells for fusion into the muscle. So you do get an increased hypertrophy. Mechanical growth factor, the DES-IGF-1, does a similar thing when it's introduced locally into the musculature. There's such a variation in growth hormone and IGF-1. The growth hormone secretagogues, for example, the natural growth hormone secretagogues, obviously your growth hormone releasing hormone, which is suprahypothalamic into the pituitary, increases growth hormone production. Then you get the growth hormone peptide releasing hormones, secretagogues, sorry. And these are mostly synthetic, mostly peptidic, in other words, made up of amino acids, and there are some that are non-peptidic.
Which ones are not peptidic? Are they cholesterol-based?
They're a combination of benzene rings and 5-carbon and 6-carbon rings associated with nitrogen, but not really amino acids. For example, if you take something like something simple, a pentapeptide, which is a 5 amino acid growth hormone synthetic called lipomorulin. Now, this 5 amino acids, 5 amino acids, 2 of the amino acids are normal, normally present in things like colostrum. And we can talk about colostrum because colostrum has an effect on the...
I want to talk about that.
Yeah, that's a very interesting topic. And we will. So you take a simple 5 or 6 string of peptides. Two of them are, for example, lipomorulin, histidine and lysine are part of the 5 amino acid and amino acid derivatives. These are normally found, for example, in colostrum, found in milk protein, etc. So any protein contains these essential amino acids, or any complete protein. But then you have 3 amino acids that are not normally present in the body. Okay? These amino acids actually can be present in the body, but it has to be from an exogenous source. So you can actually have all 5 of these. This gets very complicated because it involves the microbiota and host interactions as well. Because what happens is you can actually produce or have in your body all 5 amino acids. And for example, if you've taken lipomorulin beforehand but have stopped taking it, your body actually produces a tag template, which is a microbiota tag template, which can interact with the host, and you actually can make, theoretically, some of these growth hormones.
So do you think that kind of microbiota imprinting occurs anytime we use exogenous peptide or even a hormone? Because we know that there are specific microbes in the gut that are present when oxytocin is in high levels, and when oxytocin does. So we could sit here and argue the chicken and egg, but we know that these relationships exist solidly every single time. So what do you think about that? You think that?
Well, here's the thing, though, Carl. Most of these growth hormone secretagogues are synthetically made. They're not normally present in the body, whereas anything else that's normally present in the body usually goes through the genome, epigenome, transcriptome, translation, and then formation through the ribosomal pathways, okay? But these are usually L amino acids, all amino acids. There are no real D amino acids present in the body naturally. It has to be taken. So going back to lipomorulin, one of the amino acids, actually two of the amino acids are D amino acids, D-phenylalanine. And one is D-naphthylalanine. For example, D-phenylalanine is available. DL and D-phenylalanine are available as nutritional supplements. So there you have another one that you can have in your body. The naphthylalanine can be a combination of a toxin, which used to be used up to the 1970s, but the naphthylene is actually present in everybody's body. It's present everywhere.
Right.
So you have the naphthylene, you have the D form of the amino acid, you can actually form one of the amino acid derivatives of lipomorulin. So if you have a template that's a microbiota host interaction template through the cell wall of the microbiota, then you can potentially, theoretically, make that compound endogenous.
Wow.
Have the amino acids. This can happen to a lot of the secret drugs. So, you know, we're in the infancy of this.
You know, I was just thinking that. While you were saying this, I was thinking, my God, we're all part of a huge trial. You know, those of us who are experimenting with these different things, these different agents, we're all part of an unscripted trial that maybe 50 years, 100 years from now, they'll look back and go, wow.
We know so little. I mean, there are things like reverse translation, transcription, in which certain proteins, which are normally present in the body, can be made and translated back into the genome as an epigenetic change, calling upon some of this so-called junk DNA, which is not junk DNA,
right?
That can actually produce compounds which right now are foreign to us, but not necessarily if under the right circumstances. This is something I've been working on for a while. And it's theoretically possible. There's no doubt about that. So any secretive dog can theoretically be made endogenously if the right mechanism. So you have to have two things. You have to have one, the actual ingredients, so to speak, the amino acids, whether the peptide forms, and also the ones that are not normally present in the body. Then you have to have the mechanism to put it all together. So you either use a ribosomal mechanism or a non-ribosomal mechanism, which occurs in bacteria, which is a template formation, which can interact with the host microbiota interaction and thus produce endogenous products, which ordinarily would never be produced.
We have to take a break, Mauro, but I have to insert something there. So those of us who buy peptides that are made through recombinant technology, that's what Mauro just discussed at the very end of that, is basically what they do in a controlled environment. They feed these microbes certain amino acids, and the microbes poop out complete peptides assembled in a you don't realize it. Mauro, correct me. They use E. coli in the production of growth hormone.
That's right. Yeah, they use a lot of things. All they have to do is genetically alter splicing the growth hormone producing abilities.
Yeah, and then they use a technology to wash it out, and that's why it's lyophilized. It's freeze dried so that any residual bacteria that's still on there is dead, because they use bacteria to create most of the peptides we take today. We have to take a break. Mauro, hang on. This is so great. I'm going to start charging tuition when I have Mauro on the show. Yeah, I think so. Stay tuned.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar our banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-0820. That's 800-616-0820. 800-616-0820.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Now I want to see if you can rock my beat.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. Mauro, plug your website real quick.
It's www.mauromd.com.
And you have assembled a vast array of intelligently formulated supplements over the years, haven't you?
You know, it's interesting, actually, my supplements. You know, it's kind of like a witch's brew in the sense that it contains so many ingredients that are targeted for a specific purpose. Now, I don't believe in single ingredients, using single ingredient compounds like straight vitamin C and nothing else, or vitamin E or anything like that. I believe that my, you know, I try to make my supplements more like whole foods.
Right.
Whole foods have an who knows how many, almost an infinite amount of different compounds. So mine contains so many. They can actually be considered whole targeted foods. So this is my aim, and this is what I've done. And I update all my formulations, calling versions just like versions of software, version 3, 4, 5, and 6, depending on when I reformulate and improve it.
Because of emerging science. I'm sure that's driven by emerging science. If something's working perfectly and there's nothing new under the sun coming into that category, you just leave it alone. But if there's constantly emerging science, you have to update your supplements.
Yeah, the combination of actually emerging science, feedback from people who use my supplements, including a lot of elite Olympic athletes, and intuition. You know, over the years, over the last 50 years, I've gathered a lot of kind of reflex intuition on what I think should be included, and then try to back it up, of course, with, you know, relevant research and real world effects. But it's an ongoing thing. I'm working on it all the time.
I want to talk about SARMs, but I want to save time at the end to talk about colostrum. Okay, so selective androgen receptor modulators, and actually we've already had SARMs forever. People know of clomiphene, obviously. But SARMs are a different category. They were produced in an effort to have something patentable that could be used in the anti-aging community, those who want the testosterone. They've failed miserably, in my opinion. I don't know how you feel about it. I don't think if SARMs worked, I wouldn't take 250 milligrams of testosterone a week. I would just take a SARM. It doesn't. They don't do the same things that. These, you know, we're so arrogant. We think that, oh, well, this molecule has this in it. So we don't understand the millions of years of evolution that went into the synergy and the logic. The logic is the key word behind the mechanisms of our body. What do you think about SARMs, Mauro?
You know, I think it goes back to the 1930s, you know, when they first synthesized testosterone. Right away, they started looking at, okay, this is an injection. We've got testosterone. Is there any way we can make it oral? And then they started adding methyl and ethyl groups, etc. And it was active oral. And then they looked at the various other compounds, like dihydrotestosterone that's made secondary, you know, that's formed from testosterone, estrogen, how that affects it, etc., and so on. So we have the basis of a SARM-like change in the various kinds of anabolic steroids that were produced. Some were supposed to be less androgenic and more anabolic. Some were weaker, some were stronger. So all these anabolic steroids that hit the market over the last, you know, decades, many decades, were actually an attempt at SARMs, except that they weren't specific enough. I spoke about receptors. There are portions, you know, to make it simple, portions of each receptor that will combine with certain components to produce certain results. So what they were trying to do with SARMs, which they were never able to do completely with anabolic steroids, is to hit the receptor part that was responsible for the anabolic effects on skeletal muscle and some of the other effects on the immune system, the production of increased production of growth hormone, IGF-1, you know, all kinds of them, decrease the estrogenic effects, the hydrotestosterone effects, and decrease, obviously, the endocrine effects, the sexual effects on the prostate and you know, gynecomastia and all this kind of stuff with the increased estrogen. So now, in doing that, they target a certain part of the receptor. So they, SARMs, there's not that many SARMs out there, okay? None really have been FDA approved, so to speak, to be used for sarcopenia. But the SARM, in attacking a certain part of the receptor, may actually be losing its potency to some extent as regards to testosterone and anabolic steroids.
Well, but it's also the arrogance of humans to think that the mosaic of the receptor is the result of millions of years of evolution. And its activation by different parental hormones, whether it be, you know, the progesterones and so on, or even DHEA and then up to testosterone, DHT. This is a very sophisticated communication system that evolved over millennia, millions of years. And then doctors come in and go, oh, we just have to activate of the mosaic, but we want to activate that region, and that region. Yeah, this is going to be great. You know what? It just shows the level of arrogance that medicine has acquired over the years, because God bless them, they've had lots of successes. But then they lose their humbleness. They think, oh, we know everything.
Yeah, they're far from knowing everything. But you know what? I mean, look at artificial intelligence, for example. I mean, all this, pardon the language, about how it's going to take over the world. You know, we're going to get a Terminator type of artificial intelligence that can fix itself, that can, you know, think, become sentient, etc., you know. And I think, you know, I look at it and I think, you know, if this artificial intelligence is truly based on epistemology and knowledge and, you know, being totally practical and everything, it would actually kill itself.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, exactly. You're never going to figure out why the heck we're here. You think artificial intelligence is going to figure that out? They'll figure out, well, you know what? This is useless. Let's just pull the plug.
Yeah.
So the arrogance with artificial intelligence, you know, inhabiting other planets, you know, you get these schmucks that are multi-billionaires going on and on about how, you know, they're going to change the world and this and that. That's just as much arrogance as medical people trying to, do what nature hasn't done already.
So my attitude is, if you got a testosterone deficiency, a legitimate one that you replace with one of the existing testosterone esters, you don't use a SARM. Am I stupid? Am I not getting on the right train right now with that thinking?
Well, you know, SARMs. The whole idea, I'll just give you an example. They may try 100,000 variations on a molecule to get one that even approaches that it might work. And then they do 100,000 on that one to see how, if they can get the desired results. So the SERMs, for example, which is estrogen modulator receptors, the modulators of the estrogen receptor, can be useful for breast cancer, for example. You take things like tamoxifen. Clomiphene can be useful as a SERM to kickstart the HPTA axis after the use of anabolic steroids when the person no longer produces as much testosterone as they did before they went on the anabolic steroids.
Right.
So try and regulate. So there are valid reasons and
applications.
Valid applications for SERMs and SARMs. But as far as the SARMs are concerned, it's maybe useful for people, for example, that have prostate cancer and, you know, are on estrogens and you know, androgen knockouts and all that kind of stuff, to be able to give them something that would give them a bit more muscle mass, a little more vitality, a little more. But for a normal person to use a SARM, it can actually be counterproductive, because the SARMs, just like the anabolic steroids, actually decrease the function of the HPTA axis. They decrease the amount of testosterone that you produce, and when you're off the SARM, you might be in the same category as someone who's used anabolic steroids.
Right.
And not back to normal again as far as your own natural testosterone production.
Right.
You know, like I say, I keep saying, this is the infancy. You know, we're just starting to learn. I mean, sure, maybe 10, 15, 20 years from now, we'll have something that can work for people who medically need something that won't affect something else.
Yeah, but again, there's a lot of arrogance out there. That's what frustrates me, arrogance. You know,
we
know everything. We're medicine. We're big medicine. We know everything.
A lot of people think they know everything about everything.
I want to take a break. We've gone long in all these segments because there's just such great information here that I don't want to do any interruptions. I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about colostrum, since you raised the statement early in the interview. We're talking with Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale. Give your website again, Mauro.
www.mauromd.com.
Yeah, check it out. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. This is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes, because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Alaskans agree that Sockeye offers the truest salmon taste. Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish. Vital Choice sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing, so our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Vital Choice banner ad today. Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach. approach, anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest Bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Stick around for the top of the hour when I'm joined by Dr. Sean Wells. He's known as one of the top formulators. Excuse me. Top formulators in the industry. Right now we're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale, and I just lost my voice at the worst possible time.
You know, why gain your voice? Let me just say something here. I really enjoy being on your show because I like the interaction between the two of us. There are things that are in my head that you bring out, which I would normally probably wouldn't bring out unless you instigated it. So it's a really good interaction.
I've always enjoyed having you on the air. I had to get a glass of water. Hold on a second.
No problem.
I'm literally choking, and I don't want to lose my voice. I still have another hour's worth of radio to do. Okay, hold on.
Now you heard the song for the
line. Much better, much better. I wish it would have happened during the commercial break. It would have been great.
Listen, you heard the song "Put a Lime in the Coconut"?
Yeah.
It actually does work, as far as the throat.
Yeah, lemon and lime does. I should keep lemon juice here all the time. So, talk about colostrum. What's your opinion of colostrum?
Well, colostrum is a superfood. People consider it a nutritional supplement. I had an argument with somebody about, is this, colostrum is a nutritional supplement. Well, actually, it's actually a food. It's the first food the baby gets. Now, you have the bovine colostrum is slightly different from the human colostrum, of course. But, it's got everything to get a baby started in life. It's got the immunoglobulins. It helps it grow factors. I mean, look at all the things that are in colostrum. I mean,
I would argue that colostrum is the only quote unquote superfood because its ingredients evolved over millennia and were selected for the benefits that they would provide to a new infant that is struggling just to stay alive. So it actually causes gene transcription and nutrition, infestation of good microbes. I mean, it does all the things that a human needs at the most crucial moment. its weakest moment when it was just born. And and by the way, bovine colostrum and human colostrum are identical as far as components go, but it's the ratios that vary. But bovine colostrum is very similar to human colostrum with when you start to look at, if you start tweaking these ratios, you go, wow, you know, and that's why we've done so well with it for tens of thousands of years.
Yes, of course. But, you know, imagine when you were saying the arrogance of the doctors about the SARMs. Think about the arrogance of the people who are making baby formulas, thinking that they can reproduce colostrum, you know?
Yeah.
Mother's milk.
My mother fed me formula. I was one of those baby boomer kids. I was born in 1958, where they were like, oh, breast milk, that's no good. You got to give them formula. Formula's better. It came from science. And we're like, oh, yeah. All the kids in my age bracket, we all ended up with allergies. We all ended up with a bunch of problems that were all related to the fact that we had weakened microbiota as a result of not getting mother's milk.
Did you know at the time the smoking was also excellent for you? Excellent for your health?
Yep. I have those commercials. We use them on the show once in a while. Camel.
But listen. As far as bovine colostrum, just look at the growth promoting peptides it has. It has IGF-1. It has IGF-2. It has DGF-BFA, the transforming growth factor beta, epidermal growth factor, insulin, minerals, vitamins, all the essential and non-essential amino acids and proteins. It has probiotics. It actually changes the microbiota of the infant to a more beneficial microbiota through the use of the initial 4 or 5 days that colostrum is produced. So using the bovine colostrum. I don't know if anybody ever knows this. You know, everybody gets the bovine colostrum as a powder and stuff like that, but you can actually get it as a food.
Yeah, a liquid. Know? I used to buy it from my farmer. Anytime he has a new calf drop, he lets the calf suckle for the first entire 24 hours. And then he starts to siphon off the colostrum because I pay $80 for a gallon of raw, fresh colostrum.
I know. I agree. And you know, they can also make it into a solid. They dehydrate it, and you can actually use it like tofu. It's very interesting.
We've sold it on the show, actually. So,
But one more thing I wanted to add. It not only has all these growth-promoting ingredients, but it also increases the growth hormone formations, ingredients endogenously. For example, GHRelin is contained in colostrum, mm-hmm. as IGF-1, etc. But the GHRelin levels in the baby way outweigh the amount that's in the colostrum. It actually promotes the endogenous formation of increased growth factors, etc. So it has a dual action. Not only does it provide all these nutrients, but it also stimulates things in the baby to enhance its growth and its well-being, etc.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and you know what? How the colostrum is handled, if you can get raw colostrum, that's the best way to get it. If you can't, you got to look at how they handle it. The colostrum that we use in Thrive is low heat pasteurized. Those 20 degrees make a huge difference in the intact proline peptides that reside in that colostrum versus and a variety of other important peptides and amino acids and so on. It's very delicate. We just think, oh, well, no. Colostrum is a very, very delicate thing. Any
peptide can be disrupted by heat.
Easily.
Some of them are so fragile that if you shake it too much, they actually break down.
Yes.
Linearity, yes. Conformation, et cetera.
Yes, yes, yes. So your opinion of colostrum, it's a good thing. So how should someone take colostrum, do you believe?
Well, ideally the way you do.
Post-workout?
No. Oh, you mean when? When? I think pre and post workout would be good. It provides a lot of the nutrients it needed while you're working out. A lot of the nutrients it needs to replenish things that increase protein synthesis. Provide some of the biological factors that are necessary for protein synthesis. It has all the essential amino acids and everything it needs to increase protein synthesis. And it lasts for a fair period of time, much more than just taking, for example, whey protein, which I consider to be almost useless post-workout.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to talk about insulin for a moment.
Okay, we can do that.
So insulin has been around the bodybuilding community for decades now.
Mm-hmm.
Is it making its way into more mainstream sports where strength is important? I'm talking about sprinting. I'm talking about, you know, throwing the discus. Are these athletes, do they understand the power of, and are they manipulating insulin, using exogenous insulin at this point in time in those higher echelon sports?
There's no doubt about that. As a matter of fact, a popular combination with some athletes is the use of GH1, leptin together, because leptin decreases some of the effects of GH1 you may not want, and insulin. Now, you have to be very careful, of course, because combination of those and IGF-1, and usually not the natural IGF-1, but usually either combined with the IGF-1 binding protein or combined with or using the DES or the long IGF-1, because they have less
LR3
of a glucose lowering effect. So you don't want to become hypoglycemic, so you have to be very careful how they do this. But the mixtures that are used would astound you.
So insulin, ghrelin, and what else did you say?
Insulin, the secret agogues, growth hormone secret agogues are being used. IGF-1.
No, they're using ghrelin in there now, you're saying, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, no doubt about that. GH-ghrelin, here, you look at some of the power sports, GH-ghrelin increases appetite. One of the problems with somebody going and going up a weight class, for example, is they just can't eat enough.
Right.
You know, they get full. GH1 increases appetite. They can eat a lot more. They eat more of the foods they need, the protein foods, etc.
When we talk about GH1, we're talking about the subfractions like GHRP6 and GHRP2, right?
Yeah. They're actually using GH1 on its own. Now, and of course they're using the secret agogues, the growth hormone secret agogues. It's a combination. When you use growth hormone and the IGF-1 together, they have more of an effect than if you just use, for example, the IGF-1 or the IGF-1 long.
So each of those has the ability to clear sugar from the bloodstream, and then they're using insulin as well. So I would imagine that this is one of those situations where your meal has to be ready for you. You take your shot, you sit down, you start eating. Otherwise, you could potentially go into some sort of diabetic coma, right?
Oh, definitely. There's no doubt about that. That in the past has happened. And you got to be really careful too, because when you're using growth hormone and you're using the IGF-1 and you're using other factors, they have a trophic effect on the gastrointestinal tract and actually the abdomen, anything between the thorax and your pelvic. So that's why you were seeing in the past these bodybuilders who were huge. They also had huge guts.
Yeah, the GH gut. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to be careful of what you use. The growth hormone secret agogues, some of them don't increase cortisol, for example, or prolactin. Now, a GH1 does both, so it can be counterproductive. So leptin, which has an opposite effect to, as you know, it's an energy mechanism, will counteract some of those effects. So leptin, GH1, growth hormone secret agogues, and insulin combination is very commonly used now by non-drug tested athletes.
And all of that started in the bodybuilding world. All of that started in the powerlifting world. All the discoveries of using these peptides and peptide hormones in concert in specific ratios that builds a bigger, stronger athlete, manipulating these types of growth factors and hormonal milieus, all came from bodybuilders, which the bodybuilders, no one wants to admit that they even know a bodybuilder today because of the drugs. But meanwhile, all these athletes from the Olympic level to the pro level are all benefiting from things that started in Venice Beach and beyond back in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Yeah, actually it started with Nazi Germany.
Yeah, when they isolated testosterone, right?
Right, exactly. And then they came up with the methyl testosterone, and then so on until they built some of the oral and or other oral and ones that weren't liver toxic, hepatotoxic, ones that were, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's a huge history. It goes back to the 30s, you know?
Yeah.
So, you're right. I mean, the bodybuilders and the power athletes basically started it all. I mean, there's a lot of people think that the methyl testosterone, et cetera, was used in the 40s in the Olympics.
And do you think it was?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think testosterone and methyl testosterone were used then. And then back in the 50s, early 50s, came out with the Danibol.
SIBA actually went to gyms and peddled it to gyms. They had doctors set up in California who were ready to write prescriptions for bodybuilder types and athletic types who wanted to use this drug to become bigger and stronger. Imagine that. A country that wasn't afraid to build muscle.
Yeah, of course, you know, and at the same time, they were pushing cigarettes as well. I mean, I keep coming back to that because the whole thing is so ridiculous, you know. But you know, they can be manipulated, and they are. I mean, they're being manipulated today. We're being manipulated all the time with all these stupid ads and advertisements and push and this. It disgusts me. I don't even watch TV anymore if there's ads, because they're all either liars or they're exaggerating it so much that it's offensive.
Hey, Mauro, plug your website again. We've come to the end of the interview.
Yeah, www.mauromd.com. And it has been a real pleasure, Carl.
You know what? I love having you on the show. You and I are doing this. You were actually my first guest ever on this show back in the end of 2005.
I remember that.
Look at this, all these years later. Okay. We'll talk to you soon, Mauro.
Okay. Thanks, Carl.
Thank you. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to one of the premier supplement formulators in the world. And, well, it'll be fun. Stick around. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Kana banner ad today.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-0820. That's 800-616-0820. 800-616-0820.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. Are you still taking fish oil supplements? Why don't you just eat salmon three times a week and get your salmon from Vital Choice? They're a sponsor that catches, flash freezes on the ship, and sends out the best salmon in the world. If you go to their website, vitalchoice.com, and use the coupon code SHR, you'll save money, but more importantly, you'll get the best form of fish oil you can. And that's in a nice big piece of wild Alaskan sockeye salmon. So check that out. So every now and then we get a prestigious guest. My next guest, I would say, is prestigious. He's Dr. Sean Wells. How you doing, Sean?
I'm not a doctor, but I'm doing very
well. We have Superhuman University, so we'll send you out your shingle next week. Okay.
That happens a lot. I am the world's greatest formulator, so I'll take that.
How did you obtain that title?
Dr. Jacob Wilson threw that at me, and it's kind of stuck. I think there's very few people. I could go down a laundry list of things that kind of make me unique. I have a business degree from Babson College, and that was originally my focus. And then I got a master's in nutritional biochemistry from Chapel Hill. I'm a registered dietitian, so I have a background in acute and long-term care. But then I went on to get my CISSN, and then I got a fellowship in the ISSN, the International Society of Sports Nutrition. I've had my own company, Zone Halo Research, for years and worked with probably at least 30 companies in the supplement industry. And, you know, I was director of R&D for Dymatize, helped lead them to the acquisition with Post. I've been a subject matter expert on legal cases. I have intellectual property on 7 ingredients and many, many more coming.
One of them is
theacrine.
Theacrine. I mean, I've been using it since the keto conference in Florida, and I got to tell you, you feel that stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's an interesting ingredient in that methylxanthine family, and it's very unique in terms of its effects. I think, as you've experienced, it has longer effects than caffeine. but different effects
subtle,
in that.
More subtle.
It's yeah, not, it's not more caffeine. Subtle.
Yeah, no jitters.
Exactly.
No jitters.
Exactly. No jitters. And there's actually data showing improved sleep along with the enhancement in focus and things like that. So I really like the ingredient. And, you know, some people always wonder, you know, like how can you have improved performance but then you know, improved sleep. You know, they almost think everything has to be like ephedrine. But, you know, there's ingredients that really
optimize. Well, wait a minute. I want to weigh in on that.
Uh-huh.
Sleep is a reciprocal relationship with activity in the day. It starts upon waking up. As melatonin production starts to recede and DHEA and adrenal hormones start to rise like cortisol, the magnitude in which you wake up at is in direct opposition, but in the same magnitude in the depth of your sleep that night. This has been shown by science. So I can, anything that makes you wake up wide-eyed and bushy-tailed where you look into the sun, you stretch and you go, oh, this is going to be a great day. You'll have a great night's sleep if you don't do something to F it up, like drink a ton of coffee in the afternoon. Later that night, you'll have a great night's sleep.
Phenomenal point. I was going to bring out the point of kind of like the idea of biohacking or optimization of what we're supposed to be. You know, ingredients that do that, like think of, you know, methylcobalamin, you know, like an active form of B12, you can get enhanced cognition but also improve sleep quality. And that's just because instead of, you know, extreme stimulation, you're actually improving your body's functionality. Like exactly what you're saying, actually.
Yeah, it's a great point. What other big name products would we recognize you from, besides Teocrine, for instance?
Well, all the products with Dimetize. So not only you know, things directly with Dimetize, like ISO 100, Elite Whey, and all those kind of products, but we also did when I was there private label stuff with Smoothie King, Advocare. GNC, Vitamin Shop, a lot of big companies. And right now I am the chief science officer at BioTrust, a very big company, the number one e-commerce company in the world actually right now. So it's direct to consumer, so it's not as well known on the retail shelves, but a very big company, huge numbers that we do.
Wow, very, very cool. So I guess recently you released a blog post on your blog. Plug your blog real quick.
Well, it was actually on Drew Manning's Fit to Fat to Fit.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, and he's a super well-known trainer. He actually you know, did this thing where he gained fat and then took it back off, and he was on Dr. Oz for that. Well-known in the ketogenic circles as well. But I was on his show. And we were talking about the, being the, world's greatest formulator and all that entails. And I was on Ben Greenfield, not too long ago as well. And so it's exciting to be on Superhuman Radio. It's, you know.
The subject matter that we want to focus on right now, and it's a very, very important subject matter. I think consumer trust in supplements and the industry as a whole is probably the lowest that I can ever remember. I don't know about you.
Absolutely.
That may not be indicative of total volume sales of different categories, because people are going to buy their supplements anyway. But there's a big difference between buying attitudes when you're buying something almost begrudgingly, like thinking, yeah, it's probably crap, but what am I going to do? Or buying something and being excited about the potential outcome that that supplement can provide to your specific goals. I think that consumer trust in supplement companies is probably at an all-time low. Do you think that's an exaggeration?
No, I don't. I think with shows like yours, putting out information and so much information being available on the internet, it's both good and bad. It's overwhelming to us as consumers. So we're seeing, more products than we've ever seen. It's easy for some, you know, guy to literally make a product in his basement and throw labels on it and put it out there. And there's a lot of scares and concerns about that. But it's also, you know, easy to get information on testing. There's more companies doing testing. There's more companies putting out information saying, hey, this is the things to look for that's bogus. So I think, you know, on one hand, we're seeing more products than ever. And then on the other hand, we're getting more information, some of it empowering, than we've ever had. So Yeah, I absolutely believe that's true.
You know, I don't think supplement formulators or the CEOs of supplement companies will be relegated to the loneliness at a party when you say, I sell insurance. But I kind of feel like nowadays when you say like you're in the supplement business, people almost, there's a certain group of people who almost treat you like you're smarmy. Like, oh yeah. Like we've actually gone backwards to the snake oil salesman level of trust because every time you turn around, some news outlet is publishing a story, a study, you know, you've got magnificent companies out there like EWG now. You've got Consumer Labs testing. Labdoor is one. There's another one.
Yeah.
You know, you got all these companies doing this benevolent work going, hey, let's look at the top sellers in this category, see what we learn. And then people are going, oh, my God, like, it doesn't even have what it said it was supposed to have in it. I've been buying it. Consumer trust is so low right now in the supplement industry that – And I don't see the supplement industry policing itself. Do you?
No, not at all.
But
no,
I don't see the FDA providing any service, because we know that the FDA doesn't provide protection. You just have to look at the drugs that hurt people out there. What's the answer?
Right.
How do consumers start to trust supplement companies again?
Man, that's a tough question. You know, and what you just brought up, reminds me of like even my clinical background. Like when I used to talk to the medical doctor at an acute care facility I was at, and I would say, you know, I'd like to put these burn patients or these, you know, patients that had pressure ulcers, you know, stage 4 pressure ulcers, which means down to the bone. I'd like to put them on creatine, you know, because it's been shown to be anabolic and help with lean body mass. And he said, I don't trust supplements. There's no good studies on that. And I said, your drugs that you're putting these people on had multiple trials quite often to get to a certain point where they barely showed relevance, significance, by increasing the amount of subjects in that pool. And it might have been, you know, a 2% improvement over placebo. And then they forced it through the FDA. And then they're, you know, peddling all this, you know, stuff to the medical doctors so that they recommend these products. And you're telling me those are better studies?
Well, wait.
I can show you 500 studies.
You stop short of something. You forgot two things. Then a class action lawsuit firm will be advertising in a year and a half to 2 years anybody who took the drug and got hurt by it. And then your trust goes down the tubes, Mr. Doctor, Mrs. Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's shocking today. And it's quite frankly, it's kind of interesting that doctors would eliminate any possible tool, any possible arrow in the quiver, and just ignore. I bet you there's more research on creatine than anything else. I don't care if pharmaceutical drug or supplement, anything else that's ever been done before.
Yeah, I wrote a chapter on it in the ISSN textbook, actually, and there literally is more than 500 studies, and it's frustrating. It's like so comprehensive, and in terms of its efficacy and safety, that it would get questioned, and it is sad. It's very sad because ultimately it's the patients that lose, and quite often it's patients that don't know and can't speak up for themselves that are truly losing, that may not have a good network behind them. There's a lot of people that I've worked with in long-term care that are demented, and there's no advocate for them.
Right.
So they're not getting those kind of things. There's no one coming into their room saying like, hey, I'm just going to sneak you this ingredient so we can get you well. I mean, that pressure ulcer becomes necrotic,
yep,
septic, and then they can die.
Yep.
They literally die from not getting turned enough.
It's really, really
and
sad.
And so it's upsetting. And an ingredient like that could really be helpful in healing them. So
how about stroke? So when my mother had her stroke back in 2005,
mm-hmm,
I went there to take care of her. She was living in Phoenix, Arizona. I found really two well-done studies that showed that creatine monohydrate improved post-ischemic recovery. And I went to her neurologist, and he was like, yeah, sure. He didn't even care. He said, yeah, that's fine. And we just gave her 5 grams a day in a shake. I made her a protein shake. That probably benefited her, too. But I made a protein shake with, and she was back to normal function within 3 weeks. And the neurologist that I was interfacing with said to me, I've never seen someone recover this fast. I mean, her faculties. And I said, you think it could be the creatine? And he looked at me and goes, oh, no. I'm like, forget that. I'm like, well, what, the only thing we did different with this woman is we gave her creatine. You don't give creatine to your other patients.
It's absurd. It's so upsetting that there are tools like that. And, you know, you look at things like, I know you, one of your sponsors is KetoCon. I like, I was at that keto conference as well. If you're talking about the one down in Tampa and, you know, hearing like people like Mary Newport's story with, you know, using coconut oil, then MCTs, then even ketone esters or ketone salts. And the turnaround that she saw with,
right,
with Alzheimer's. And I saw a man that had Parkinson's that literally was having severe tremors. And, you know, within 30 minutes of taking his ketone esters, he was able to get, you know, fine and gross motor function back, like to where he could walk and even touch his finger to his nose. And,
I wonder if people realize that what you just said, it needs to be a good clinical trial needs to be done so that we're not shooting from the hip here. But it's pretty probable that what we're talking about here is that these diseases, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, we already know that they are a form of insulin resistance of the brain.
Exactly.
And
Alzheimer's called type 3 diabetes.
Yes. And yep. In fact, if you could give somebody a ketone donor, whether it be BHB or an ester, I mean, I've tried them all. They're amazing. And their function and clarity comes back. You've just discovered the broken mechanism in their brain, and you can fix it specifically. Instead of giving them some crap like Aricept that when sundowners, when sundowners kicks in at the 7 p.m., they get in their car and they want to drive it into a crowd of people because they don't understand why they feel the way they do. But the pharmaceutical industry doesn't give a rat's behind. They don't care that they could be giving them ketone salts and changing their lives and over a period of time, probably change the metabolic landscape of their brain to where it becomes more insulin sensitive, and they can start to move to a more middle of the road, high protein, high fat, low carbohydrate diet and live a long, wonderful life.
Exactly. And you know what? There's even some research on like traumatic brain injury that acutely that there's a scenario that it's, like an acute, insulin, insensitivity that's happening, at that area of the concussion or traumatic brain injury. So that, you know, one of the things that we typically do is we give them, you know, something like a Gatorade right after they get hit in the head, you know, out on the field or in MMA. And that's actually the exact opposite thing that you want to do. They
right.
should be getting ketones. Some of my friends down in Tampa at Aspie, Ryan Lowry and Jacob Wilson, they're looking into that, like using those, you know, potentially prophylactically to prevent those kind of things, but also, therapeutically in the case where there has been damage.
Well, and I'll go a step further. When you suffer a traumatic brain injury,
mm-hmm.
the acute effects of that, I like to call it metabolic friction. So you got this metabolic friction. Think of it as heat. And you're feeding it more glucose, and you're asking it to continue to work. Instead of shutting down that area of the factory, finding workarounds, which is what ketones do. So when
exactly.
you have ketones in your bloodstream and they get to your brain, the metabolic machinery is running on some new cool energy that's not going to promote greater edema, greater inflammation, and greater disruption. It makes such perfect sense to anybody who has a concussion. They should immediately, like, reduce their blood sugar and get them on ketones.
Yeah, you know, I'm a lifelong ketogenic dieter. I've been on it for, you know, over 20 years, and it's frustrating to me that I always hear, oh, ketogenic diets, like, yeah, that's like Atkins is, you know, it's weight loss, it's, you know, all these kinds of things. It just helps it do what other diets do. It just, you eat less. And I think, you know, there's actually a lot more to it than that.
God,
and,
yes.
and the amount of things that are happening in terms of, all these disease states that you're talking about. And quite frankly, we are dual fueled. We have been denied this other fuel
right.
that we are meant to use in times of starvation, in times of high fat and meat, you know, in times like that we would typically, and not just starvation, but even like, you know, they'd go long times between meals. Like let's say if you were hunter gatherers and
yeah.
it was winter.
I hate calling it intermittent fasting because
right.
as soon as you do that, you put up a lightning rod and say, oh, I'm a zealot, strike me. But what I like to, what I've been referring to it at, on this show for now, probably 5-6 years, is a more ancestral meal frequency pattern.
Sure. Sure. Exactly.
That's
exactly.
really what it
especially,
is.
Especially like winter time, that would be super common. Yeah, exactly. And so this dual fuel, we're denying ourselves and we're certainly getting way too much of the glucose side of the equation, and denying that dual fuel, denying the ketones, it just seems weird to me that there's such a resistance to the discussion around ketogenic dieting, and so much of all of our studies, all of our data that's out there for athletes, for patients, is all based on glucogenic people
right.
and a society. We don't really have data on what the, you know, requirements are and what the performance level is and what 10 years effects of, you know, this, of ketogenic dieters are. Like, and when sometimes they do these studies are done with, you know, they just drop them into ketosis, but they're not keto adapted. They're
right.
not keto adapted
right.
for weeks, months, years. And it becomes a very different equation. And then how deep into ketosis are they and how often are they in ketosis? And there's so many, factors that come into play, but it's interesting. I think there's going to be a ton of research in this field and there's so much more to come that we're really tapping into something, as you said, ancestral.
You know, I have been inadvertently experimenting with ketosis since, the early 2008 year when we did our first show with Dr. Mark McCarty from one of the Catholic hospitals in New Mexico, in Mexico City, Mexico, where they had a group of people use late night fasting and then exercise in the morning, and they looked at their biomarkers, they looked at their blood. It was just a great study, and it showed that the catabolic effects of harvesting muscle from amino acids really doesn't happen that quickly. You don't necessarily lose muscle, but you absolutely make deeper strides into liberating fat as a substrate. But more importantly, with every succession of this application, the metabolic landscape changes to the point where the body becomes so insulin sensitive that it starts to produce ketone bodies very early on. Oh, we're fasting again. Let's get busy, guys. Instead of that lag of weeks or months for some people who have never even been there before. All these years later, I just posted my fasting blood sugar levels a month ago. My morning blood sugar is 59, and I go to the gym and train very intensely. My audience knows how I train. I mean, I do nothing but giant sets and supersets, and I use real big boy weight. And I never feel gassed out in a workout. And I can fast for the rest of the day if I wanted to, and I have done in the past. It's like the metabolic landscape changes to really become, I would say, from a human body perspective, the most optimized it can when you regularly let your body run on ketones.
It's fascinating. Yeah, absolutely. And it's great to hear about your training. I experienced the same thing, and that's what clients of mine have experienced as well, that cognitive clarity, like you said, even with heavy weightlifting, sometimes doing some of the best they've ever done. I mean, you've probably heard Dr. Dom DiAgostino experience the same thing with, you know, massive amounts of weights and going many, many days without eating. So, yeah, it's fascinating stuff.
And we're going to have Dom on the show because he just published another study that answered a question that I proposed to him probably 2 years ago on this show. And I said, since ketone bodies are present when we don't have adequate intake of food, the body is going into this special place, this special mode, is it possible that it's turning on some of the anti-aging agents, the sirtuins and so on and so forth,
mm-hmm.
while it's ramping up metabolic processes like autophagy and so on, that when ketones are present in our body, they are a signaling molecule to do that, to clean up metabolic waste, even in the presence of adequate intake of food. And he just published a study, I believe, that shows that, that in fact, all of those things that we attribute taking resveratrol to, you know, SIRT1, all the sirtuins are upregulated when they see ketones. Ketones are not only a fuel substrate, but they're a signaling molecule for the body to do certain things.
Definitely. And you know what's really fascinating is it might not be just ketones. What's interesting, so beta-hydroxybutyrate, you know, one of the key of the three ketones, and that's what those ketone salts or the ketone esters typically are. There's acetoacetate is one of the other ones. But butyrate, the short chain fatty acid, is part of beta-hydroxybutyrate, right? So, and butyrate, as we know, is like so key to the gut microbiome and the things that it's doing. And there's some people, like actually one of his students, Dr. Angela Poff, that has theorized that maybe it's potentially like the anti-cancer effects and some of the things that we're seeing maybe from the signaling side could potentially be from the butyrate.
Interesting. Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's been on the show too. Look, I want to take a break. And when we come back, I want to get back on topic here and talk about the rash of lab testing of every supplement out there and what this means to the consumer. This is a wonderful opportunity to have Sean Wells on the show. If you want to send questions in for him about your favorite supplement or something like that, please send it to onair@superhumanradio.com. We'll have him back on to answer your questions. We'll be right back.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LiveOnLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LiveOnLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Alaskans agree that Sockeye offers the truest salmon taste. Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish. Vital Choice Sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing, so our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click click the Vital Choice banner ad today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back.
Nice. I like these 80s jams.
You know, these are mashups that I've been using forever, and people will email me and they'll go, "Hey, where can we find those mashups?" It's like, this is the only place. Listen to the show. Wait for the annoying commercial breaks. There are bookends on the annoying commercial breaks. So there you go.
There you go. Okay. I like it.
So there has been a bumper crop of failed label claims. You know, really, there's zealots out there nowadays that are looking at everything. You've got great organizations like EWG. You've got Labdoor. You know, I can't even think of the list of them. But they're all these companies are doing independent lab testing of products off the shelf. They're doing it in a very organized, very precise way, so their science can't be tainted or called to question. And they're putting this stuff out there for the public, and people go, "Oh my God, I've been buying this protein powder. I've been using this supplement. There's nothing in it." And consumer confidence is the lowest it's ever been, in my humble opinion. So where does the industry go as far as policing itself, and how legitimate are these tests in the first place?
That's a great question. It's a huge question and something I speak to a lot, because some of it is things that you can test, and then some of it, it takes a lot of savvy and truly testing out the product to even know. For example, let's say I was working with an ingredient. You had astaxanthin. So fucoxanthin.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with that. Yeah. So, you know, getting like a 5% fucoxanthin.
Fucoxanthin came on the scene because it was said to be a mitochondrial uncoupler. So it went into a lot of early fat burning supplements back in the day, right?
Yep, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, getting a 5% fucoxanthin, it's about $40 a kilo if you wanted to buy it from China and get it so that it's, you know, using a UV method, ultraviolet.
Right.
If you want 5% HPLC, it's $5,000.
But so that means that there's really not 5% in the one that's using the UV method of testing.
Right. It's not necessarily. So what you're supposed to do per the FDA is use the most appropriate method, for testing. So most people don't, that's not really disputed much. And so, it's called being fit for purpose, using the most appropriate method. And so in this case, the most appropriate method would be HPLC, but it's not going to get disputed typically. And they're going to show, "Hey, we test out. Here's the results. We spend $40 a kilo." I mean, which one, you know, do you think, someone who's making a product is going to spend it on?
Oh, of course.
They actually test out on their label. So it's not necessarily like it doesn't test out, but if you were to use HPLC, it would test out at 0.01% instead of 5%.
So will the industry ever police itself, and is that even possible? How does the industry, you know, it's like saying all the crack dealers
in Manhattan and Manhattan. Work things out yourselves so that there's no more wars. And if there's a guy that's cut and crack with something harmful, you put him out of business. We're just going to leave our hands off it and let it go. I am not for FDA control. The FDA has botched the pharmaceutical industry and turned it into possibly the most corrupt industry in the world. I'm not for FDA control. But how does the consumer start to take their foot off the brake and buy with confidence again?
So I totally agree. And it just kind of made me think of the Breaking Bad example where he had like the purest and best, stuff out there, you know, the crystal blue stuff.
But, right.
You know, I do think companies can take this on. And certainly companies like, recently, I don't know if you saw that Amazon released some of their own supplements first party. And I think they're calling it Essentials. And they only have like three products and they're single ingredient products. But they're listing the QR code on the bottle. And with that QR code, you can actually scan your product and see the lot testing directly. And this is like ushering in kind of a whole new era of empowering the consumer. And now as the consumer, you may not understand a lot about that testing, but you can at least take it to someone like me or you or someone that can say, okay, you know, is this the best testing method? Because now it's all out there and it's transparent. And that's what we're seeing is an era of transparency. And I think millennials have really been driving that authenticity and transparency with companies. They're demanding it. And so you're seeing companies get away from proprietary blends. And you're seeing companies get away from kitchen sink formulas and have five ingredients and list that they're, you know, the plant part, list the standardization, do everything correctly, list them in order of descending mass, like the label is correct and simple and clear, and it shows that they care about those ingredients. And then you're seeing guys, you know, front their companies with a face, like a, you know, I'm thinking of like a Dave Asprey or something who's like on a, you know, videos quite a bit, and you know, he's saying, I'm the face of these products. I don't want them to be trash. You know, and that level of sincerity matters.
But you know what? There's a lot of people willing to sell their souls out there. And I agree with you. That level of sincerity matters. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I resisted offering any supplements and then I ended up with this protein powder right now. And you know, I feel the same way. I feel like, you know, it's more important that I don't degrade the trust I've built as an individual on the show to try to sell some protein powder, which is really a very, very, very low priority on my list because it's a commodity item. I'm not going to get rich on that protein powder. So,
right.
But what about these frivolous lawsuits that are being raised today? We're in an environment today where if you have a successful supplement, you will get sued regardless of whether you really crossed any lines. Because there are companies out there, for instance, you know, fiber, the way you test fiber will determine if certain fibers require different testing to identify the level of content that they have in a specific product. So that means that if someone plays naive ignorance and uses the wrong one, they can file a suit and say, there's no fiber in here. And that'll get all the way up to court. And you have to invest, you have to invest all that money. And then instead you say, you know, we're not conceding anything, but how much you want to go away. That is all over the supplement industry today.
Yeah, and that's a great example, actually, of like IMO, for example, with a short chain fiber. It's not only is there not actually a specific test, like you can't go to Covance or Chromadex and really get a definitive test for IMO, and it's frustrating at the moment, and it's considered a short chain fiber, quote-unquote, but also you know, depending on how you test and the type of IMO you're getting, it can be anywhere from 30 to 70% fiber, and then the rest is really considered sugar. So it gets super confusing, and I know the FDA is actually pushing back on what's considered a fiber, and they're pushing back specifically on things like IMO and inulin and some of the, like, that has FOS, like some of these short chain fibers.
Right.
Because it is a little confusing and, you know, in terms of things like net carbs or, you know, things that people try and come up with, it creates even more confusion and there isn't clear testing. So like you're saying, it's hard to add it all up and create clear labeling guidelines, and certainly people can test them out and push back, and it creates confusion. So a lot of people, like I know Quest specifically, moved away from IMO and went to corn fiber. I think one, because of that testing issue, and then yes, two, because there was a glycemic impact.
Yes.
And with corn fiber, there is not a glycemic impact. So.
I happen to be very close to them, Ron Penna, and when Tom Bilyeu was there. And I happen to know that they elected to take a huge multi-million dollar loss.
Right.
And throw bars away that any other company would have just pushed through and said, you know, let's sell everything we got, we'll change it, and then we introduce the new one. They stopped and they threw stuff away while they fixed their fiber problem. And no one has ever talked about this. I've talked about it on my show a couple times because you don't see that level of benevolence in the supplement industry today. You just don't.
No, and going back to that level of sincerity, they really have the pulse. And if you listen to Tom Bilyeu talk about his brand, and you know, their number one mission was to solve metabolic disease,
right,
whether it's through like low carb with keto or low carb with high protein. I mean, either approach is low carb, and it's very interesting. And he certainly put a face on that company, and they've created a lot of brand ambassadors, and it's been something to watch. That sincerity creates so many followers, and that brand equity is certainly very important. So yeah, and exactly, they did the right thing. Super impressed with them,
and they did it quietly. They didn't drop a bunch of press releases. Tom didn't go on all, you know, Tom's got real big connections up there in mainstream media. They didn't go reach out. They didn't say, hey, we're gonna pat ourselves on the back and. No, they did it quietly. They took their losses. They changed, and it took a while for them to come back up to speed, but they came back up to speed where they needed to be. And I look at that and I think to myself, my God, you know, I've worked with Quest on a lot of projects. I love working with those people over there. The corporate culture there is the best that I've ever experienced in the food industry, ever.
Incredible. Ryan and Jake, my friends again at Aspie, work with them quite a bit, and I love I'm very good friends with Josh Field and Victoria Atlas, who's amazing, like Epigenics, like offshoot is and what they're doing. Incredible stuff. Like it's so cool that they're, you know, trying to solve not only metabolic disease, but like really they're working for the cure with cancer on the epigenetic side. So, I mean, support a company like that.
That's Ron Penna and Daniel Arrego. That was their mission, that whole epigenetics thing. I mean, what they're doing now, I can't even talk about some of the things they've been working on because they haven't approved for me to talk about them yet. But they're doing some things that are going to impact mainstream medicine very shortly in the cancer arena.
I think I already know
some of those
things on my side, but yes, it is incredible stuff.
All right,
very exciting.
I want to take a real list, our last commercial break, and we'll be back and wrap up the interview. Stay tuned.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest Bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make
make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back.
Oh, wait.
There's a new groove.
It's Jamie Brown. Get down to the nitty gritty. We're getting down to the nitty gritty.
James Brown and AC/DC.
Yeah, isn't that a great mashup? I have maybe about 1,500 of those mashups. They're all unique. They're all one of a kind. I got them from like a BitTorrent site back in 2007, maybe. My son, like, he's like, Dad, listen to these songs. And I think they actually came from MTV originally.
Wow.
Somebody like from MTV put them up on a BitTorrent site. And I just downloaded the whole thing. And I've been using those since like 2007, 2008. I've used the same songs. I have a whole library of them. They automatically rotate. The software automatically rotates it. So I don't even worry about it.
They're phenomenal. I kind of want to get them.
I know. If I wasn't a law-abiding person, right? I've had so many people say, can we buy the music? I would have just packaged it up and in a zip file and said, here it is, $15. And I could probably sold thousands of them by now. But yeah, I'm just not doing anything corrupt that way. So back when I was a kid in Brooklyn, I would have found a way to sell them without getting caught. But nowadays I'm too out in the open. You know, I'm too old for that now.
There you go. Heisenberg.
So let's talk more about testing.
Yeah.
So obviously the devil's in the details, as you pointed out. You know, there's mm-hmm. different ways of testing that get different results.
Sure.
So what do we do about the litigious nature the supplement industry has become? We have people. I think Ron Kramer was just something backfired on him. I was reading the other day. He had been
high tech. Yeah.
High tech. Yeah. Jared Wheat, a nice, mm-hmm. nice guy, really nice guy. And Jared went back and they got like almost a million dollar claim against him for this frivolous lawsuit.
Yeah, it was, quote unquote patent trolling. He has bought up many, many, many patents. Some of them just really abandoned. And, I think that one was specifically on arginine for performance enhancement or something like that. And, you know, it's so broad and so hard to, hold a company accountable for. But, you know, there it is. It's, you know, these companies are getting sued. And instead of like having a lot of these companies have interest from outside investors or, you know, there's PR issues. So instead of, dealing with it, fighting it, you know, you just pay the money. And that's what these patent trolls count on, is that you're just, you don't want to deal with it. You don't want to have your lawyers deal with it. You don't want to potentially lose. You don't want it to get out into the press. You don't want investors to, you know, be concerned over lawsuits, et cetera. So people just pay them. And sometimes they're literally ludicrous patents.
You know what's really funny? So people who are listening to this, they're probably a little bit indifferent. Well, you know, hey, you want to be in business, you got to. Guess what? You're paying for those lawsuits. When you buy a jug of protein from somebody who just had to fork over $1 million to some bottom feeding troll lawsuit instigator, guess who pays that $1 million? The company doesn't. They don't make money. They take money from you and spend it on the things they need to spend it on. So you, the consumer, pays more money for the products you love. So when you hear about these lawsuits being brought by these obviously frivolous lawsuits being brought by companies who all they specialize in are preying on successful companies with these frivolous lawsuits, understand that they are suing you and you are paying that lawsuit.
Right. And these companies are literally buying up, these patent trolls, quote unquote, are buying up these patents that literally just haven't been used or actioned against in many, 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 many years. Things that, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, there's been no action on, and the patent itself is very weakly written. But, you know, they'll go out and buy like 15, 20, 30, 40 patents that are like this, that are cheap. You know, maybe they can get them for $5,000. And then they end up making tons of money because they'll literally have someone going online looking at all these companies' products. Okay, it has this ingredient. We'll send them this letter. It has this ingredient. We'll send them another letter. And, you know, you end up like each company is getting like 10 of these letters for these ridiculous patents that nobody's even talked about for years and have zero validity.
You see, I do not want to stop the ease of someone who is a small individual fighting against a Goliath to be able to obtain an attorney and file a lawsuit that is legitimate without the worry of repercussion, because that's the American way. But when you look at other countries, you look at the UK, you look at Trinidad. I have a friend who fell in the lobby of a Hyatt hotel in Trinidad. In order for him to have sued them, because he really hurt himself, he had to send them money to put in an escrow account.
Wow.
Like before they would even put the suit on the docket. And because these other countries know that nuisance lawsuits hurt you and me, the consumer. They don't hurt the companies, because the companies just increase what they charge to pay for it. So they don't let that happen in other countries. What I want to see is harsher punishment for when, like RICO shows a habit, a trend, right? That's how they use the RICO Act, racketeering. So they need to have that for these attorneys who all they're doing all day is writing these frivolous lawsuits hoping that people go away. Because even if they don't make them into court, even if they don't tax the system, so to speak, because they carry the appropriate fees for registering the suit, They stop commerce. They gum up the works of commerce. They gum up the works of initiative. They gum up what is the American dream. So I feel like there should be some new legislature. If we can identify a law firm and this is all they do, we go after them. The country goes after them. The USA, because they're hurting the USA. They're hurting those of us who pay our tax dollars to the USA. Then shut them down when you can show that all they are these parasitic law firms.
I love it. That would be great. In California, it's out of control.
Oh, it's so
like things like Prop 65 and, you know, that kind of labeling. And there's just so many dark attorneys that are existing just to prey on companies like you're talking about in California in particular.
Terrible. So what do you want to let's sum up the testing thing. Give me the sure. bullet points of how you feel about this new trend of testing and everything.
Well, it's important to know that identity, purity, and strength for your, both your raw materials, so your raw ingredient, and your finished good, meaning your product, need to be tested according to FDA guidelines. But most companies, if they focus anywhere, is on strength. And there's very little done on identity. And, you know, for example, there was the DNA testing that was a huge issue years ago with the New York AG, and that was actually a very erroneous test. Not a good, again, like we were talking about, probably not the best method to use in terms of testing identity. Something like HPTLC would be a good way to test identity. And, you know, testing purity is important as well. There's things like residual solvents, heavy metals, that you need to look at. Like, for example, with curcumin, there's a toxic solvent called EDC that you need to look at. And with ginkgo, for example, there's something called ginkgolic acid that's actually a toxin that most people don't test for or know about. So the more you see from these companies, you know, that are taking the onus upon themselves to do these kinds of tests and say, you know, we're using cold water, we're using CO2 extraction, or, you know, here's our ginkgolic acid is only at one part per million. The more transparent they are, the more you should have confidence in that company. And certainly, just FYI, as a consumer, you're allowed to call up this company and say, please show me the results. You know, it'd be great if all these companies were doing what Amazon's doing with the QR code and that kind of level of transparency. But you can say, I have this product. Here's the lot number. Can I see the results? And you're allowed to see that, and you should be able to get that. Now, most companies may not even have it, or they're not aware of it. They're having their contract manufacturer do the quote-unquote testing, and I don't know if you know about a term called dry labbing, but it's rampant throughout the industry.
What is dry labbing?
It's going to be upsetting to you, is that basically there are labs out there that you can pay for that will basically send you the results you want, and dry labbing means somebody just typed it up.
Oh,
and a lot of the
man.
Materials coming from China, you know, can, you know, if you don't test them thoroughly yourself with a third party lab, if you're just taking that certificate of analysis and it, that comes with that material and saying, oh, test out because they said so on a piece of paper.
Well, and the truth is there's a lot of supplement manufacturers that don't want to know. They're happy to take that piece of paper. Because
exactly.
they know they're paying too little for that raw material. But they're like, hey, if we have the, look, if it becomes litigated, look, we had this. That's it.
Right. And so there's a lot of, so what happens is these contract manufacturers that are putting together the product for you, they're also doing it at their facility. They're just saying, okay, we've got the C of A from, you know, here from China, and it's printed out on this report. And then if somebody asks a question, you know, they can send it to a third party lab that dry labs as well. And everything says that it tests out, so we're good to go. But now that's where like a company like a Labdoor or Consumer Labs or, you know, someone like that can test it out and show that it's bunk. But you really do want a company that's doing the testing themselves with a third party lab, not just depending on the contract manufacturer for that paperwork or the ingredient supplier, but literally testing out their raw materials, qualifying them, and testing out their finished good with a third-party lab, a good one, like Chromadex, Covance, Eurofins, Alchemist. Those are probably my top four. So those are the ones that I would rely upon heavily. And then in some cases, I know like with me, we had to develop methodology with – we were using an Ervingia. And we didn't have a methodology to really test the material lot to lot to make sure that it had the efficacy. So we created HPTLC for identity, and then we also looked for markers to test the potency, some active ingredients in there so that we could see lot to lot what's happening. And we spent tens of thousands of dollars to just establish a methodology on a branded ingredient that, you know, it wasn't our responsibility to do, But this is like the level, you know, it's like you're saying, I mean, some companies just take on that extra effort, you know, the quests or
well,
whatever.
Well, you know, I look at it like this. You could either deal with it now.
Right.
Or you could deal with it later when it's a problem.
Exactly.
Like, why not, don't you want to not have problems later on that you have to combat once the product is doing well? I mean, that's just silly to me. So,
prime example is United Airlines.
Yeah.
Like, $1,200, if they probably offered double and said, hey, does anyone want to step off this flight? You know, if they were truly customer first, customer centric. And think of what that would have saved them. It lost $800 million in one day.
Yeah. Oh, that's just the beginning. They've got a lot more money that they're going to go through. Yeah, that was that was a PR nightmare. Whoever made the decision to call the cops, not only should they be fired, but they should be they can't work for any corporation ever again. They have to sell apples in Manhattan on the corner. I don't want the FDA involved in anything because they're corrupt. But do you think it's time for our government to go, look, supplements are a separate entity. We don't want to put it under the FDA heading because we know that the FDA is a festering mess of corruption and backslapping and everything else. Do you think it's time for the industry to approach our government and say, we want to create the new supplement industry governmenting system? Because if we wait for the industry to police itself, it's not going to happen. The crack dealers aren't going to put themselves out of business. They're just not going to. Do you think that it's time for this new agency and maybe incorporate ANSI into it so that ANSI says this is the way you test for these compounds and these molecules and really do it right?
That would be phenomenal. And there are actually business side advocacy groups like APA, and I could see them linking up with ANSI, and that would be really good. There is the Office of Dietary Supplements that's actually has a little bit more potency over the last year, despite the FDA maybe losing some potency. So, but I agree that I would love to see that where the industry does police itself. And I think the more that you do see, just look at the impact like a product like Jim had on, you know, like everything was concentrate and everything was prop blended. And then all of a sudden, you know, he comes out with a super expensive product that was 20 servings and, you know, it lists all the ingredients out. And then everyone else is like, oh, we got to do, you know, this transparent labeling. We got to do you know, this type of product. And, you know, just like this thing that Amazon's doing with the QR code, you know, again, I think that transparency is a powerful tool, and it's not necessarily, it shouldn't be used for just marketing reasons. Hopefully it's used for sincere reasons that you got into this company because you love products, you take the products. I know me, with everyone that I've hired through the years at many companies, and I've had, you know, 30 employees at least underneath me, everyone I hire, one of the key questions I ask is, do you take supplements? Do you believe in supplements? Do you like supplements? And then would you recommend our products to your family?
Yeah, because
they're
not going to work out if they don't.
That's a thing for me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, those are what do they call them? Not game changers, but deal breakers, right there. They don't say yes to those questions. Why are you here?
Exactly, and you know the thing is, like, you know, there's people that are good at what they do, like maybe in quality control that I could hire that are very savvy and understand the science. But if they don't care about the products, they're not going to make the same decisions. They're not going to stay that extra 15 minutes and work it out, or, you know, tell me about something that's gone wrong, and they'll just, you know, brush it aside because it's a 9-to-5. But if they know that they take this product, they consume this product, and that their family takes this product, then it's a very different decision they're making, and they'll come from a place of passion.
I want to have you back on because I want to get deeper into proprietary blends, right? I want to talk about them from both sides of the coin, right? So,
right.
You know, you have supplement manufacturers that have come up with something that maybe after years and years of work and development,
sure,
they don't just want to hand it off to somebody so everybody can just start knocking it off. At the
sure.
same time, you know, prop blends allow people to really not know what they're getting, how much they're getting. Is that even important? So I want to save that. I want to do that. I think that deserves a separate interview by itself.
Absolutely. That's a phenomenal topic, and certainly an area that I think a lot of people are getting duped.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's probably good and there's bad and there's ugly in the prop blend segment. So do you want to plug anything today, a website, anything?
I have a website, zonehalo.com, that shows a lot about me. I'm just certainly proud to be on your show. I like to educate, and I like the background that I come from is, again, you know, kind of business and clinical and supplements, and I think I have a wide background that I can kind of understand the business of supplements top to bottom, and that's what's kind of made me unique and certainly helps when I do educate or work with companies to work on their education, their marketing. So I appreciate the experience of being on the show, and I'd gladly be back on.
Yeah, well, now we're going to do this. I want to talk about proprietary blends. Do we really need them? Have they outlived their usefulness of protecting the manufacturer as opposed to the mm-hmm. consumer? It's a good discussion. We'll definitely set that up pretty quickly here, okay?
Great. Thank you so much, Carl.
Yeah, and thanks for being on today. It's such short notice, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Talk to you soon. We're going to end the show. We went a little over, and that's okay because we started late because of the mishaps that we had with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. Don't forget his website, mauromd.com. You can go and check it out there. And today is Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. Tomorrow's Casual Friday. Tomorrow we'll tell you all the stories about being in Mexico last week. I can't wait to tell you. We'll see you then. Thank you for listening today.